Well, this morning we're going to be talking about Psalms chapter 37, a psalm of David. And there's a very popular verse that comes from that psalm that you guys have heard many times. Verse 4 says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart." And that verse has probably been misquoted or misapplied so many times. I can remember as a child, I've told you the story before of when I was a child, I used to, well, not on a regular basis, but one time I prayed and I asked God to give me this toy that I really wanted. And I said, "God, if you would just make that appear in my hands, I would just tell everybody about you. Because I really wanted this toy." Matter of fact, I wasn't really all that caring about which toy I got. I just wanted a new toy. I said, "God, just put this toy in my hands and I will tell everybody that I know about how you do miracles," right? And one of the reasons I thought that that was going to work was this verse right here, right? If you want something and you love God, He's just going to give it to you, right? I mean, isn't that what the verse says? He's going to give you the desires of your heart. And it didn't work for me. I'm sad to say it didn't work for me. But we also know from the Bible probably why that didn't work for me, right? Because I was not wanting it for good. I was wanting it just for my own selfish desires. And God doesn't give us the things that is not going to help us. So we want to look at this Psalms 37 and understand the context of it. What is God saying to us here in this verse, in this chapter? And the chapter is not really about that verse at all. What this chapter is about is, what do you do when you look out at the world and the wrong team is winning? When you look out and say, "You know what? I'm not sure God's really winning in the world. I mean, there is just so much evil prevailing." We look at our country and we say, "Wow, there is just so much evil prevailing." And some people say, "Well, how can you even believe in God when there is just so much evil in the world?" And maybe you can even look at your own life and say, "Wow, I just see so much evil. And people who do evil things, and they're succeeding. They're rich. And the people who try to do the best they can, and they fail over and over again. Does God really help people?" That's what this passage is about. You know, the interesting thing about this is the structure of this chapter. When the wicked succeed, David starts out with a proclamation of faith. He is proclaiming his faith in God. Then in the middle, we start to see why he's proclaiming his faith in God. Why is there hope for the believer? And then ultimately, we see where his faith lies. So he's going to see a statement of faith, why he believes that, and then he's going to further explain what is the future for the righteous, those who are God's people. In verse 1 through 6, it says, "Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday." What David is saying here is that we need to trust God. When we see injustice, right? When we see the wicked winning, we need to trust God. He starts out and he says, do not fret. Don't even worry about it. When you see somebody, it's kind of like a movie, right? In a movie, how does every single movie start almost? Right? It's with the bad guy doing something bad, right? Because now you know who the villain is, right? And then you're going to see, okay, here comes the good guy. And they're going to battle it out over the course of an hour and a half. And in the end, we know the good guy is going to win, right? And if he doesn't win, nobody's ever going to watch that movie again. What a horrible movie where the bad guy wins, right? So, this is what David is saying. Hey, when you recognize who the bad guy is, don't worry about whether he's going to get his or not. You just know that he's going to get it. In the end, he's going to get it. Don't be envious of them, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Trust in the Lord and do good. Even when you see other people around you that are doing wrong and they seem to be getting away with it. He says, trust in the Lord and do good. In verse 4, he says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. In verse 5, he says, commit your way to the Lord, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. So we have trust in the Lord, delight yourself in the Lord, and commit your way to the Lord, and then trust also in him. So trust. There's also dwell in the land, feed on his faithfulness, but trust, delight, commit, and then trust again. What's the picture he's trying to give you here? No matter what you see in this world, God is above all of those things. God is trustworthy. You can commit yourself to him, and if you do that, then he will give you the desires of your heart. And what is the desire of your heart in this situation? It's justice, right? It's to see the evil punished and the righteous to be saved. And David says, you can count on God to do that. You can count on it. You can take it to the bank. He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. How often do you guys worry about the noonday coming around? You know, some people have some severe mental handicaps, and they actually do worry about that kind of thing. But we would say that you're crazy when you get to the point where you're worrying about if we're going to have noon today or not. Right? Some of you are can't wait for noon because that's when the sermon will be over and you guys can go eat lunch, right? But nobody worries about if noon is going to come about. David is saying, then don't worry about whether God's going to bring about justice or not. He is going to bring it about. Do not fret. Verse 7 and 8, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. How many times do we see somebody, right? They get hurt by another person. They get taken advantage of. And now they become, where before this other person was an evildoer, right? And everybody know, oh, this guy, he's no good, right? But now this guy over here gets taken advantage of by that guy, and now he becomes no good because he's so consumed with anger and bitterness and hatred towards that person over there that now neither one of them are any good. They're of no benefit. David says, don't get angry. Don't get upset. When you see somebody prosper in his way, just know what's coming. Right? Just like in the movie. Oh, he's going to get it when that superhero gets around here, right? He's got it coming. We all know it. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. Now, this part is my favorite part of this whole chapter. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Did you know that? When you worry and are anxious, when you're angry and you're bitter, did you know you're destroying yourself? You're not helping anybody. You're only hurting everyone. So cease from that. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. It doesn't do any good at all. It only causes harm. Why does David say to cease from anger? Because he says, the wicked shall perish. You can count on it. His day is coming. Verse 9 through 15 says, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct, and their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. You know, it's interesting. We look at things from a very temporal perspective, the here and the now, right? If you go to YouTube, one of the videos I always like to watch is instant karma or instant justice, right? Somebody does something wrong and instantly they pay for it, right? Like one of them is somebody will be passing somebody in a very dangerous, maybe passing on the shoulder or, you know, passing into oncoming traffic and just being really stupid, right? And then all of a sudden, there was a police officer right there, saw the whole thing, pulls him over, right? Instant justice. You know, we love to see that. We love to see somebody get what they had coming to them, right? And that's what Jesus, or what David is saying, that God, right? He sees the whole thing. He doesn't see the today and then the tomorrow and then the next day and, oh, a year from now or, oh, 2 years from now, this guy's finally going to get it. God knows exactly what's going on. He knows today what's going to happen 2 years from now. And he's laughing. Why? Because this guy thinks he's going to get away with it. This guy thinks he's really got something. He really found something where he's going to get a pull one over on God, right? And God's just like, oh, if you only knew what's coming. If you only knew what I got planned for you, right? That's what the verse says. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. You know, one of the Bible stories from the Old Testament that we have is from Esther, right? Haman, he built these gallows because he wanted Mordecai to be hung because he hated Mordecai because he was a Jew. He hated him. And who ultimately hanged from those gallows? The guy who built them, right? And that's a perfect example of this verse. He had planned to do harm to those who were upright. And God turned it around. The sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. God fools the plans of the evil. We also know that the wicked will vanish. Verse 16 through 22 says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, And in the days of famine they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the meadows, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives. For those blessed by him shall inherit the earth, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. You know, if we were to read an account of rich people who died without Christ, and we were to give their last words, I can tell you it will be regret after regret, after vanity after vanity. Life is without purpose. I've done all of this, and it was all for naught. Right? Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, right? He said, hey, I had all the pleasures I could possibly attain, and it was all vanity. Right? There's the old saying that money doesn't buy happiness. Everyone knows it, but everyone wants to try it out for themselves just to make sure that it's right. Money doesn't buy happiness. And especially money that comes from bad sources. Stolen money. A little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. They say the worst place to be on Sunday morning is down at the boat docks, where all the rich people are who don't have God, because they're miserable. They have nothing to live for but themselves. And they know their time is coming soon. The wicked and borrows and does not repay, but the righteous shows mercy and gives and is blessed by God. The righteous shall be saved. Psalms 37, 23 through 40 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. In Bible study this week, we read a verse about how God sings over us. How he gets so excited about us, he breaks out in song because he loves us and he's thinking about us. He's watching us. And when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, it brings joy to his heart and he just breaks out in song. This verse says, he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, and yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. He is ever merciful and lends, and his descendants are blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. You know, it's interesting. A lot of times we see people that are maybe like this verse. You know, they do evil and they excel for a short time. And then they go by the wayside. And instead of us taking an example and saying, you know what? I shouldn't do that. I need to go back to the old way. God's way, what we do is say, glad I'm not like that person. Man, I am so glad I am just better than that person. I just glad I'm not really like him, because boy, what a loser I would be if I was him, right? And we replace their sin with the sin of our own. Instead of forsaking evil, we often become exactly what we hate. We become the very evil that we hate. And so God says, depart from evil. Depart from anger. Depart from bitterness. Depart from hurting your neighbor because he hurts you. And do good and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever. But the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. Who is this righteous man that David is talking about? We see the characteristics in 29 through 34. It says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God, the law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. And when the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. That is what we must be. We must be that righteous person speaking wisdom. Well, how do you speak wisdom? Well, let me give you a clue. You speak these words right here. You study the word. You know the word. And then you speak it. When somebody comes to you for help, you speak words of wisdom. His tongue talks of justice. You know, we hear a lot of talk about justice these days. The only sad thing is it's not God's justice. It's a perversion of God's justice. Where it's, let's take from these people over here and give it to these people over here. That isn't justice. That isn't each one gets what he deserves. That's just theft. And we try to justify what is wrong. The law of God is in his heart. Wait a second here. Let's think back to verse 4. What does it say in verse 4? That God will give him the desires of what? His heart, right? What's in his heart? The law of God is in his heart. The law of his God is in his heart, and none of his steps shall slide. This isn't a verse that's teaching that whatever I want over here to do for myself, all I have to do is wish it up and God is going to give it to me. That's not at all what the verse is saying. What the verse is saying is that I put my faith and I put my trust and I step out in faith and I follow God and I do what he says and I study his word and I speak his word and I love others and I give and I help. And then God will bring his law to pass. He will uphold me. He will give me eternal life. He will give me what he has promised. And I have to wait on him and keep his way. And he shall exalt you to inherit the land. The last thing is the salvation of the righteous. David sees the salvation. He says, I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. And yet he passed away. And behold, he was no more. Indeed, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man and observe the upright. For the future of that man is peace. But the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. The righteous, the ones who are trusting in God, will be saved. The wicked will be cut off. But maybe you know somebody who's wicked. That's not really all that great of news, after all, is it? Sometimes when we see our neighbor who's been stealing from us get what he deserves, and then we see the consequence of their sin, sometimes that isn't so glorious after all, is it? And now we're there to see this family broken by sin, and we think, wow, what a pity. Maybe you see it in your own heart, that wickedness. And you recognize that that person is you. That person who needs to be destroyed is the person living within your own body. That's why Jesus came and died on the cross. Because if we're really honest with ourselves, we'll recognize that there isn't any righteous. That's what Romans 3 says, right? There are none righteous. Not even one. Not even the guy who's standing up here talking to you and telling you all this. He isn't righteous either. We're all the person who deserves to be destroyed. We're all going to die. We're all on our way out getting what we deserve. The amazing thing is not that God doesn't help us. The amazing thing is that He cares about us at all. Because we have all broken His law. We are all worthy of punishment and what we get. But because He loves us, He's near the brokenhearted. He wants to help. He wants to turn your life around. He wants to give you a fresh chance. He wants to put all of that in the past and start over. And He wants to give you a fresh start to where you can claim His righteousness, His Son's righteousness, and be covered. And all of your sins be covered and say, God, I'm now going to live for You. I messed up in the past. I was going the wrong way. But Your grace, Your mercy has sought me. Your blood has bought me. And now I can live for You through the power of Your Holy Spirit. You can turn your life around. The destiny that you were headed towards can be history, and you can have a new destiny. You can walk out of here today with a new future and a new plan. But we have to be willing to come under the Lord, under His direction. We have to put His law in our heart. We have to speak His words. We have to lean on Him and not our own understanding, but in all of our ways acknowledge Him. And He will guide our paths. God takes no delight in destroying the wicked. Not even a little bit. What does 1 Peter 3:7 say? I'm sorry, 2 Peter 3:7 say. Actually, 2 Peter 3:9. It says that the Lord is patient. He is long-suffering, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. God is giving us chance after chance after chance after chance after chance to be reconciled to Him. There was a Virginia colonel, last name was Byrd. He was condemned to death by the Cherokee Indians. In that tribe, there was a chief who had been a friend to this colonel. And the chief said to the people, "This man is my friend. Before you can get at him, you must kill me." The Cherokee let him go free. And Jesus holds out His hand to make that same offer to you, to protect you, to guide you, to hold you, even through the roughest times of life. The believer is held safely in Christ's hand. Before the believer could lose his salvation, Christ would have to be overcome, and that is not even possible. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. If He is in you, do you have the Son? If you do, you have life. If you don't have life. It's that simple. How do you know if you have the Son? Are you following Him? Are you putting His word in your mouth, in your heart, in your life? Are you following Him? 1 John 2 says, if you obey the Son, then you have the Son. If you do not obey the Son, you're fooling yourself. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, You are an amazing, loving God. You love us so much. You care for us so much. You think about us so much. You desire to see us succeed and prosper so much. But it is oftentimes us who get distracted. It is oftentimes us who stop focusing on You and start looking around at the joys and pleasures, at the sin that's masked by joys and pleasures, at the heartache that's masked by joys and pleasures. The things that we often think will lead to joy that end in frustration and pain and loneliness. The things that we think will be fun that end in heartbreak. But Lord, You are a God who loves to restore hearts, who loves us so much that You're willing to come alongside us and restore us. But we have to be willing to come alongside You and to learn from You and to walk in Your ways and to do the things that You know is good for us, because our understanding has been corrupted by bad desires. And so we must put our faith and our trust, not just one moment of one day, but every moment of every day, and to walk faithfully after You. And You will bring joy into our life. You will bring peace into our life. And no matter what is happening around us, we can be firmly anchored in You and abide in You. And Lord, we know that that is where joy resides. So Lord, I pray that You would give us that strength, that You would give us that will to walk each and every day for You, to not to turn to the left, not to turn to the right, but to humbly walk behind You as we follow You and we take up Your cross. We take up the burdens that we must bear, and we walk and we learn Your ways. You said You are the way, the truth, and the life. So we must be able to walk in that way so we may have that truth, discover that truth, and have that life. Lord, help us not to get confused or distracted with the cares of this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.